Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she's discovered is that the way that many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that can be wrecking your dog's health. And this is true for even many premium brands. Fortunately, she's found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone could do the same thing to see incredible changes to their dog's health. I've got two dogs, and I want them to be with me for a very long time. There's a lot of good stuff here that made me think about how most dog foods are made, what to avoid for my dogs, and superfoods that are great for them. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/baseball and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/baseball.
Well, it was quick. Dylan Cruz starring in college baseball and now, hopefully for Nats fans, starring in the major leagues. Prospect profile time. Dylan Cruz, welcome to the show. Scotty Braun, J.J. Cooper, Jeff Ponce. Jeff, your thoughts on Dylan Cruz making it to the big leagues pretty quickly? I think we expected that, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, from the time he was drafted, the anticipation, the reason he went as high as he did, was that he was going to be a guy that was going to move really fast and, you know, provide a lot of value on both sides of the ball and be a potential sort of, you know, major linchpin in the Nationals lineup for a long period of time. And the day seems to be here.
And the thing that stands out to me with Dylan is this is not a shock, because he's been kind of famous for quite a while. This was a guy who was a very prominent prospect when he was in high school. Now, it was a kind of weird time and didn't have it kind of made sense for him to go to LSU. And then it really made sense for him to be at LSU because he consistently demonstrated that he's one of the best hitters in college baseball, one of the best hitters in LSU history. And obviously important for him and for many Tigers fans out there, a key part of that LSU national championship team in 2023. And here he is now. Now I feel like that he's kind of being asked to be a key part of a Nationals rebuild that's trying to get them back to where they were a few years ago, obviously with that World Series win. The good news is he's not being asked to do it alone. This is the team that does have some building blocks who preceded him, does have another top outfield prospect in James Wood. But with Cruz, you're hoping that the bat, the combination of hitting ability and I would say some athleticism and solid defense, Scott, should all work together to make him a very well-rounded player.
How did you project him when that draft was going down? Because there was much debate about the, you know, very front-loaded draft that we saw in 2023. So, for example, I think Nats fans might have an eye on Wyatt Langford and Dylan Cruz to see, you know, who fares better in the big leagues, especially with the bat, right?
Oh, absolutely. And obviously, if you're a Nationals fan, when Wyatt Langford made the opening day Rangers roster, probably was a little bit of a cause for concern. He got there faster, had a better end of that 2023 season as well. I think at this point, we thought that Cruz was the better hitter, the better pure hitter coming into the draft last year. But at the same time now, if you said purely on the bat, I would say that Langford, especially that combination of hit plus power, might be a little better than Cruz. But Jeff, I think if Cruz is going to end up winning this discussion over the long term, I think that defense probably would play a role in that. How do you kind of see it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is we just need to see the power out of Cruz that we saw at LSU and the elite on-base ability. I think that's something that kind of gets thrown out in the wash, whether it's batting average, we look at strikeouts. It's a guy that walked almost, 20-plus percent of the time in college, you know, immediately in pro ball, showed that he can get on base at a high clip. If he's hitting for power and we see the 25 to 30 home run power with the high hit tool, with the elite on base ability, plus playing a more valuable defensive position, I think the conversation is probably going to be a war conversation more than it is a vibes conversation among the fan base. They're going to have to point to a number and say, hey, this guy plays center. He can hit 25 to 30 home runs a year, and he's one of the highest OBP guys in the game. I think that's what we hope for with Dylan Cruz. And there's maybe a little bit of speed that we're going to see at the major league level that we didn't necessarily see when he was in the minors as much, or when he was at LSU, because his job in the middle of that lineup was to drive in runs.
I hesitate to kind of bring this up with that, but because it's going to, I think some Nationals fans are going to remember what he was as a National, but like, you know, we when we talk about what a player's are compared to and all that, we often get really kind of lofty with it, but a better Adam Eaton kind of does stand out to me as something that probably is sounds like I'm damning with faint praise, but Eaton at his prime was a guy who really got on base, who hit for average and has some power while playing up the middle. Jeff, am I selling him short when I say that?
I think for some people you are. I think just in terms of what the hope is I think you'd hope for more of like a George Springer with a guy that has high on base ability, you know, has impact, is a winning ball player too. Where Eaton, I don't know if necessarily had that ceiling. And I think when you look at Cruz, there's a little bit more ceiling there. And that's why I think Eaton's a very safe comp. But I think if we're going to go out here, we're gonna swing for the fences. We got to go for somebody like Springer, someone who's a perennial all-star who went and then got a big contract with a competitive team.
So then, Jeff, I wanted to ask you about the Nats system in general and where you think they're at, because they went with the old school at this point, scrap it all down and restart, or just, you know, the plan that's worked for many teams on this front. So do you feel like they're tracking in the right direction? Like, this is all going to be worth it in the end for them to have, you know, 4 or 5 lost years of DC baseball after the World Series title?
We'll see. Because I think the early part of that rebuild, some of the picks weren't great. There was a nice player acquisition period over the last couple of years. Some of the folks in the front office have changed, and on the player development side, there's been some changes. So we need to see what sort of fruit that yields in terms of some of these other players that are going to come up and, you know, be brought into the system in the next couple of years. I think this is sort of the front end of it. They happen to have some very high-end names that have been able to debut this year, which I think is a huge benefit to them. But at the same time, you know, I think it's kind of like it's C-plus territory right now, where it's kind of like wait and see, and we'll sort of delineate up or down the scale depending upon how the performances look and how the next couple of drafts look. I think they're still sort of in the rebuild phase where it maybe took a little bit longer to get going than some other clubs might have.
I think the reason that Jeff's kind of putting it that way, I agree with it, is the concern you have to have, and again, this is not really focused on Cruz, not focused on James Wood, but the Nationals have really, really struggled to develop position players. You have to go back to the Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, Michael A. Taylor era to say who's the last truly homegrown position player prospect that they've drafted who's turned into a regular, a long-term regular. Obviously, that was some great picks at that time, but that's a while ago now. And there's been a lot of players in between where it just hasn't worked out. So what we have to see is okay, I don't think that this really is focused on Cruz, not really focused on James Wood, but we've seen Trey Lipscomb kind of come up for them as kind of a development success story. You need to see some more of these homegrown development success stories, players who are not the first round pick in the draft, who end up kind of exceeding their expectations. If they're going to have a rebuild that works in the long term, they need some of those to go with these potential stars and to go with the CJ Abrams, the Mackenzie Gores and all that they've acquired in trades.
And then the other part that surprised me, JJ, was the Nats not being involved in free agency this past offseason as much as I expected. Maybe they could have gone for that Jason Worth type signing to start to set the tone that they're going to spend again and get into winning baseball. I personally think some of that has to do with the team being kind of secretly up for sale. I know they publicly said that they wouldn't be, but we've heard differently from some of the people we've spoken to, especially for me on Foul Territory. So I'm wondering if next offseason they get involved, look at the spots that are weak and start to fill in the blanks to see if they can pounce again, especially if the Marlins are going to be in rebuild mode again. It's a tough division. You know, it doesn't always play out that way, but it's a competitive division because of the teams that they're going to be around at the top, especially those three that are going to pretty consistently spend.
Oh, it's an incredibly competitive division. I mean, this is a division where the Nationals at their peak weren't winning the division. They were winning the World Series because the Phillies have not won the division, but gone to the World Series. This is a division where finishing second can be enough to get you all the way to the World Series. But the Braves, the Mets, the Phillies, and sometimes we saw that last year with the Marlins. These are all teams that can give you some challenge. So it's something where the Nationals are not in a division where this is ever going to be easy. And I do think long term, they absolutely are going to have to spend, go back into spending in free agency, something they've done in the past. But to get a long term to where they want to be, they're going to have to spend in free agency as well. And with that, they kind of are finally getting out from some, from under some of these contracts that didn't go so well. They, Steven Strasburg has officially retired. Patrick Corbin's deal is kind of nearing its end. They had some moves that helped in the short term, and they did help in the long term. Now they need to find some moves that help in the short term and the long term.
Yeah, and the cool part for Nats fans, you get to see Dylan Crews this year while the team is still going through that rebuild process. This is someone that was a star in college baseball, got drafted 5 seconds ago, proved it in the minor leagues, and here he comes to the show. That's why we do prospect profiles here on the Baseball America YouTube channel. Thanks for checking these out. And there are many more to experience on the BA YouTube channel, as well as the Hot Sheet weekly show that we do. And we'll see you for the next call-up.